Well, I invite you to turn with me now to the book of Joshua, chapter 1. The book of Joshua, chapter 1. And if you're using a Pew Bible, it's on page 245. 245 in your Pew Bible. Joshua, chapter 1. We'll read this chapter together this morning. It says, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you. As I said to Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites and to the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of a good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of a good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, pass through the camp and command the people, saying, prepare provisions for yourselves. For within 3 days you will cross over this Jordan to go into possess the land which the Lord your God is giving you to possess. And to the Reubenites and the Gadites and half tribe of Manasseh, Joshua spoke, saying, remember the word which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, the Lord your God is giving you rest and is giving you this land. Your wives, your little ones, and your livestock shall remain in the land which Moses gave you on this side of the Jordan. But you shall pass before your brethren, armed, all your mighty men of valor, and help them until the Lord has given your brethren rest as he gave you. They also have taken possession of the land which the Lord your God is giving them. Then you shall return to the land of your possession and enjoy it, which Moses, the Lord's servant, gave you on this side of the Jordan toward the sunrise. So they answered Joshua, saying, all that you command us, we will do, and wherever you send us, we will go. Just as we heeded Moses in all things, so we will heed you. Only the Lord your God be with you, as he was with Moses. Whoever rebels against your command and does not heed your words in all that you command him shall be put to death. Only be strong and of a good courage. Amen. May the Lord bless the reading of God's precious, holy, infallible word into our hearts. Joshua chapter 1 begins with the announcement of Moses' death. Moses was a very important person, the life of Israel. He led them as God directed him. Bring Israel out of Egypt through their wilderness wanderings to give them the law, show them the will of God for their lives, direction. But now Moses is gone, and the Lord raises up a new captain, a new leader to bring the nation into the promised land. Joshua now has the responsibility of the nation upon his shoulders. And of course, he's not truly alone. God is with him. God gives him words of encouragement. He tells Joshua and the nation, be strong and of a good courage. You're going into this new land, but it's a land that I am giving to you. I want you to enter in. I want you to take this possession. It's yours. I'm going to go before you. I'm going to defeat your enemies. In fact, there will be none that will be able to stand against you. Be strong. Be strong. Be courageous. Don't be afraid. Don't be terrified. Even though their cities are tall, the walls, in fact, it's described, the walls walled up to heaven even. The Lord will remove those walls. They will fall before you. You will be victorious. You will be victorious. Go forward. And that's the command that God gives to these people. Go forward. Even though there seems to be these barriers in front of you. And they were standing at the Jordan River. The river's a barrier. Don't worry about this barrier. I'm going to remove that barrier from before you. You're going to go before you. You're going to face the people of this country, of this area, of Jericho and Ai, and continuing on against kings who will raise up armies against you. And although you're facing these armies, the enemy will be before you. Fear not. Fear not. I am with you. We can draw much encouragement from this portion of the Word of God because it's not just directed to Israel. This is not just a word focused on a people that lived a long time ago. But it's for us as well. Because the Lord desires for you and for me to go forward in our Christian lives and experiences. We're not to stand still. We're not to be handcuffed by this world and the challenges of this world and the roadblocks that seem to hinder our way. But when we trust in the Lord, when you are trusting in your God, He is a God who's able to remove those barriers and those roadblocks. He will enable you to go forward in your Christian life and experience. But the message that He gave to Israel is also the same message for you and for me. Be strong. Be courageous. I'm with you. I haven't left you. I haven't deserted you. Certainly, there may be times in our lives, in our experience, that we don't feel the Lord is with us. But remember, we don't rest on feelings. We rest on promises. We rest on God's revelation. We rest in His Word. When He says, I will never leave you nor forsake you, He upholds that. He keeps that word. And so I trust, as we look at this portion of this, of the Word of God, that we will be encouraged today, that we also will be a people that desire to go forward in our Christian life, to know growth in our Christian life, to know more of the love of Christ in our hearts, and that it would enable us then to serve Him, to be able to overcome the evil one when he tempts us, so that we'll be fruitful. My desire is for you that you would be a fruitful people, that this will be a fruitful church, and that you will know the help and the blessing of God day by day. And the three points I'd like us to consider as we think about this idea of going forward in our Christian life is first, God enabled Israel to cross the Jordan. Second, God enabled Israel to gain their possession. And third, God enabled his people to have the victory. And so first, God enabled Israel to cross the Jordan. God would enable Joshua to cross the river and claim the land. In verse 2, it says, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise. You're to go over this Jordan. You and all this people to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. I want you to go over this Jordan. It's not too hard for the Lord to remove this barrier, because I'm sure as they're standing there at the river, they're wondering, well, how are we to get across? We don't have boats. It's not a bridge. How are we to overcome this great barrier that stands before us? Because remember, we're not dealing here with a small congregation of people. We're dealing with a very large group that are going to cross over and enter into this land. And they had to cross the Jordan in order to gain their possession. Now, God didn't give Joshua explanations as how they were going to accomplish this, how they were to cross over. Remember, God's people live on promises and not necessarily explanations. God doesn't tell us necessarily how he's going to remove our roadblocks, remove our barriers, remove our challenges and our difficulties that are before us. But he just promises to do so, to help us, right? To help us in our time of need. And so Israel deals with this barrier that only the Lord can remove. But he doesn't tell them to stand there and wait. He says, it's time for you to move forward. I want you to go. And so never allow anything in this world to hinder you in your Christian life and experience. Remember, those roadblocks that seem to be before you very well necessarily may be bridges to help you grow in that grace and knowledge of Christ. And the book of Joshua is not a book about just defeats. Certainly it records battles. It does record defeat, sin, and failure, but the people of God are able to overcome this, are they not? Because even in sin and failure, God proves himself faithful to them. But they must go forward. They must go forward. And remember what happened when the priest stepped into the water with the ark. I mean, what happened to that river? It wasn't that they just waited until the river to be removed. They had to step into the water. I wonder what they were thinking. Are we going to have to swim across? We're stepping in. We're going in. And of course, once they stepped in, that's when the miracle happened, right? That's when the river parted, just like the Red Sea did. And God was proving himself faithful. But it meant that they had to step forward in faith, not by sight, because I'm sure if they were just moving forward by sight, while there's a river here, we're stepping into the river, what's going to happen? And the Lord showed them his power and his ability, didn't he? He's a God of the impossible, it seems. There is nothing too hard for him. And what's going on in your heart right now? What's going on in your life? Are you living in faithlessness? Are you thinking, well, you don't know my problems. You don't know what I'm facing. How is God going to fix my issues, my challenges? Remember, God doesn't explain necessarily how he's going to fix your problem to help you with your challenge, to enable you to overcome your roadblock. But he just promises you that he will be with you. And you will be able to step out in faith as well, even as Israel did. If it means I've got to step into some water, then I will do so. But Lord, enable me to step out in faith, to live a life of faith, trusting you above all the circumstances of life that tend to come our way. Remember Elisha? And he experienced something very similar, didn't he? He was told to follow Elijah. And if he followed Elijah, what would happen? Because Elijah told Elisha, I'm going to be taken away from you. And so what would happen if Elisha was there and Elisha would see Elijah taken up into heaven? You know what would happen? He's going to receive a double portion of what? God's Spirit. Right? God's Spirit. And so Elisha, he followed him and kept very close to him. And even he wouldn't leave him. Elijah told him, I want you to stay here in this place. No, I'm not leaving you. And then he moved on. I want you to stay in this place. No, I'm not staying here. I'm going to be with you. And of course, Elisha saw Elijah leave in what? What came down and took him away? Remember, it was a whirlwind, right? Chariot of fire. I mean, it must have been an amazing sight that Elijah saw as Elijah's leaving. And his mantle fell to him. He takes up the mantle and he comes to the river, the same river. And what does he say? Where is the God of Elijah? I want to prove the Lord now. I have a barrier in front of me. Now, Lord, prove yourself. And he hits the water with the mantle, doesn't he? And what happens to the river? And it separates before him. And he's able to walk across. God showing that he can do even the most impossible. And he proved the Lord. You know, it's the same Spirit that fills us. It's the same Spirit that's in work today, isn't it? Are we not able to prove the Lord? I mean, we may not be able to walk up to a river and hit it with a coat and have it separate before us. But he's able to help us, right, in our challenges so that we can rest on his promises. And so I ask you, what side of the Jordan are you standing on? Are you living a life of faithlessness? Are you looking at your circumstances and being overwhelmed by them? Are you thinking that, well, God's not with me? He might be with the other people in this church, but he doesn't prove himself to me. If we approach him with that unbelief, how do we expect to do anything? We're not to be double-minded, are we? May the Lord grant us faith. May the Lord grant us faith to go forward, to say, yes, where is the God of Elijah? Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. It was the Lord who was with them, who enabled them to cross the Jordan. God gave them a command. They obeyed the command. It seemed like it was impossible to fulfill that command. But yet the Lord was the one who told them, I don't want you to look at the barrier. I want you to look to me, right? And as you're looking to me, that barrier that seems to be in front of you is going to be removed. Look to me. Don't look at your circumstances. Look to me. That's the same command that we have today, so that we also can go forward in our Christian life and experience. But not only did he enable them to cross the Jordan, God enabled Israel to gain that possession. He says to them in verse 3, every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, so this river, this barrier is going to be behind you, and you're going to be walking through this promised land. So the sole, every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you. As I said to Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and to the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your territory. And so he tells them very specifically, this is the area that I'm giving to you. It's not that you just hope to enter into this land and gain what you can from the people that are living there. No, I have this great territory prepared for you. This is your possession. I'm giving this to you. It's going to be yours. And so he makes promises to this people. And of course, this goes back to the covenant he made with Abraham and that ongoing covenant, right? That involved land. And over the centuries, God had reaffirmed this promise from those first words to Abraham to the last words of Moses in Deuteronomy 34, that this is something given and promised by God to you. He made the covenant with you. He's not going to break his part of the bargain, but he's going to fulfill all that he has said to you because you are a special people to him. And that's why I do not want you to fear. I do not want you to be afraid. Every place where the sole of your foot will tread, that belongs to you. That's your possession. God's promise to Moses in Exodus was, my presence will go with you and I will give you rest. Remember, there remains a rest for the people of God. And a part of that rest was this land that they were going to have, a land flowing with milk and honey. So, really, you think of it this way, it was already given, it was already theirs. It was a matter of them now laying hold and taking hold of that possession. I mean, what are the possessions that we have? What are the possessions that you have? I mean, the Lord desires to give you rest. I mean, there is a promise that where Christ is, we shall be also. That when Christ has gone, returns, he might bring his people with him. And where I go, you shall go. You will be with me. And so we think of the possessions that we have. Even the possessions that we have in Christ are far greater and far outweigh all that we could ever possess in this life. Because everything that we have in this life is temporal. And so the lesson for us is clear. God has given us and blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. In fact, in the book of Exodus chapter 2, it speaks there of us being with him in glory and that we've already been raised with him and that we're already sitting with him there. So assured is our place in glory. So it's not wishful thinking. It's not an empty hope. Well, I trust that my good will outweigh my bad and I'll do enough that God will accept me. I mean, if that is your approach to coming before God, you will fail because you can never do enough good. But that's why we rest in Christ. That's why we rest in him and his finished work. It is Christ who's gone to prepare a place for us. It's Christ who's gone to prepare a place for you. And he views you as already raised with him and already sitting with him in glory. Ephesians chapter 2. And that's why our salvation rests in grace, not by works, not by anything of us. It's all of God who saved us and redeemed us and desires to fulfill his word, his promises in our lives. His desires to fulfill that promise in your life so that you also may gain rest, rest for your soul. And so the Lord promised to give these people a good land, a good place, because he has a good purpose for his people. He has a good purpose for you, but it means looking to him. Because remember, at salvation, we are placed in Christ and granted full access to all the resources that God offers to us. Resources such as his wisdom. If any man lacks wisdom, are you lacking wisdom? Are you not quite sure about a decision or a choice you need to make? Is there a crossroad ahead of you? Should I go this way or that way? Should I decide on this or decide on that? Come before God and pray for wisdom. And he promises to give it to you. He will open the door and he'll close the other. He'll show you that way. We understand the resource of forgiveness and grace when we see all that we have in him and the fact that he shed precious blood to wash us and cleanse us from all our transgressions. Confidence, right? That leads us to confidence in our lives, confidence in our hearts. God is with me because Christ has made that new and living way for me beyond the veil. I have every right to come before God because of Jesus. And of course, that hope and confidence, even in the toughest of times, that we might know the peace of God that surpasses all understanding, that peace within ourselves, knowing that all things are working together for my good. He lays before us spiritual riches, spiritual blessings. May we lay hold upon those things. Hudson Taylor, who was the founder of China Inland Mission, he used to hang in his home a plaque with two Hebrew words on it. Ebenezer and Jehovah Jireh. Ebenezer, the first word means hitherto hath the Lord helped us. And of course, here is a man who went into the unknown, going to a country where his desire was to minister, not knowing what was going to happen there. But he was able to testify, yes, the Lord has helped us. And of course, the second, the Lord who sees is the Lord who provides. The Lord helps us. The Lord sees and provides. And that was his confidence as he was laboring there. And so remember God's promise to Moses when he said, my presence will go with you and I will give you rest. God will enable his people to gain their possessions, so that will be forward thinking. But also God enables Israel to gain victory, gain the victory. So he lays before them, I want you to cross this river. I want you to walk into this land. It's yours. I want you to take it. And as you are in that land, as you're walking through that land, no matter who you come up against, you will be able to defeat them. And I will give you victory. I will give you victory. It says in verse 5, no man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of a good courage. For to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give to them. Only be strong and very courageous. See how he's repeating that over and over again. I want you to be strong. I want you to stand. I want you to be courageous. Don't be filled with terror. Don't be filled with fear. Sure, their walls are great. Their cities are great. The kings are great. Their armies are great. But guess what? You are going to be able to overcome them. They're not going to be able to stand before you. But if you are to have victory, not only do I want you to go forward, take the land and fight these enemies, but what does he say in verse 7? Be strong, very courageous, not only defeat these enemies, but that you may observe to do what? To do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it from the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. So he tells them, you're going to prosper. Your way will be prosperous. You're going to have good success. It's all before you, but the key is to do what? I want you to obey me. My law is to be written upon your heart. You're to base your life on my truth, my revelation. And so as you follow my word, as you obey me, I don't want you to follow the gods of the people of this place where you're going to. You're not to depart or leave me. You're not to forsake me. But as you follow me, as you obey my truth, as you have your word there within your heart, you will prosper. In fact, you are going to have a lot of prosperity, and you're going to have a lot of success. I mean, how many people here, if I ask you, yes, I want to have success in my life. I want to be successful. I mean, I'm sure every young person would raise their hand. Don't you want to be successful? You know, you have a life in front of you, right? When you're doing your schoolwork, and you think about college and university, right? Someday that's coming. And then you'll have a job. You want to be successful in that job, don't you? And have a family. Successful life, a successful life. And certainly, if we're to gain that success, if we're to have that victory, right? It doesn't come from what I do. It doesn't come from me. In fact, if my life depended on me and me alone, it would be filled with failure. Because I made bad choices. Right? Left to ourselves, we give in to temptation and sin. We follow the gods of this world. Right? The gods that are around us. The god of sports and the god of money. Material things. We follow these things that set our heart against God. And of course, we wonder, why am I struggling so much? Why am I failing? Because I've forgotten the Lord. I mean, and I'm sure, I mean, you're familiar with this book, Joshua, and what happens after Joshua dies. And those who know Joshua die. And there rose a generation that what? Knew not the Lord. That means that they stopped obeying the Lord. And you get into the cycle of the judges where constantly you're failing and they're being put into bondage and their enemies are overcoming them. They're no longer having that victory and prospering and doing well. Forsaken the Lord. May we be a people who observe to do according to all that is written in the book of the law that is the Lord has given to us. Because then our way will be prosperous. Then we'll have good success. Have I not commanded you to be strong and courageous? Be strong and courageous to me. Look to me by faith. Even when circumstances don't seem to be going in a good direction, I want you to be strong and courageous in me. And I want you to be strong and courageous toward those enemies that are coming. Because if you're focused on me and what I'm going to do in your life, then it doesn't matter what comes against you. They cannot stand. They cannot stand. And so ultimately, it's God who gives the victory. It's God who gives the increase. It's God who gives success. It's God who makes your way prosperous. Don't think that you're better off without the Lord. That it's okay to live a life without Jesus. Think that things are going to be better for you if you don't read the word. That's the devil's lie. Make sure that your life is founded in this book, God's truth and revelation. Then you will be prosperous. Then you will go forward. Then you'll have victory. And the example comes right after this. When they obey God, what happens to Jericho? Can you imagine you're marching up to a city and their soldiers are on the walls. Walls are tall. You think it's a good way to overcome a city by marching around it and blowing trumpets? Da-da-da-da-da. Is that a good way to overcome a city? Seems kind of strange, doesn't it? But because they obey God, what happens to the walls of the city? The wall of Jericho did what? It fell flat. And they are able to go in and defeat that place. But when they allowed sin, right? Achan comes along. Sin is in the camp. Sin is in the nation. What happens at Ai? They're defeated. They're defeated because there was one in the camp who did not obey the Lord. Remember that. Remember that. And it wasn't until they got their sin dealt with that they were able to go forward and have victory. Remember, God is forgiving. We confess our sin. He's faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. But it's a matter of dealing with sin. Deal with the sin in your heart and your life. And when you do that, you put God first. Put Him on the throne of your life and your heart. You will have good success. You will prosper. You will do well. God will show Himself faithful to you. And not one thing has failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spoke concerning you. Right? That's what He said to this nation. That's what He says to us as well. So what it comes down to is this. What side of Jordan are you on? What side of Jordan are you standing on? Are you living a life of unbelief? Or are you stepping out in faith, going forward in your Christian life? Because God will enable you to go forward, to be fruitful, to live a life that's pleasing, to live a life of victory and of hope, because Christ is with you. And He'll show Himself faithful to you every day, every moment of every day. He's a faithful God. We have a faithful Savior, and that's why we rest in Him. Are you going forward? Are you going forward? Make sure you are, because if it's not forward, it's backwards. May we be a people who are going forward in our Christian life and experience. Well, amen. May the Lord bless His word to us. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank You for Your word to us today, a very encouraging word. Lord, You are the one who declares these promises. You're the one who said to Your people to go forward, to fear not, to be a people that is prosperous, will have good success. Lord, it's from obeying You. Help us to be a people who obey You, follow Your word in revelation. It's because of our love for our Savior. For truly Christ said, if you love Me, you're going to keep My commandments. You're going to keep My word. Lord, help us to have that love, and that we'd have more love, so that as Your people, we would fulfill Your will, not our own will, but Your will, knowing that You will grant us wisdom, that You will give us all spiritual blessings in heavenly places, that You will grant us confidence in our lives, that no matter what happens, everything is working together for our good. So bless Your people here. Lord, enable us together to witness and testify of Christ in this dark world, and that truly Jesus will be with us. He is one who is with us and never forsakes us. And so we praise You and we thank You for Your word to us today. In Jesus' name, amen.